Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Why was this assumption made that Bridge Guy is the killer? There is nothing in this video that makes me think Bridge Guy is the killer, other than he's just another guy. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there walking that day that walked by the girls. It was always presented as unequivocally, Bridge Guy is the killer. Why? Why did we jump to that? Why did anybody jump to that? I've always wondered that. It never really made a whole lot of sense to me. I thought, well, there must be more to the video. They said there's more that we haven't seen, so there must be something in this video that shows that there's more to it. There's not at all. And the video is edited. They literally moved the audio on this video the way they presented it to make it sound like he's chasing them down and saying down the hill. I mean, it's very crafty editing. I mean, this is the type of stuff you do when you're making a promo and you want people to get really excited about it and you just show little clips. That's what they did with this video. I don't even know how that was admissible in court when you edit it like that and you show it. I know they did show the full thing in actual court, but the way that this thing was presented and released to the public left and right was not that video. It's shocking.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. And again, could Bridge Guy be the killer?
Maybe.
Yes.
Anybody
could
be.
Somebody else have been down that hill on the land of Ron Logan, by the way.
Yeah.
And called them over and committed this crime, or even not called them over. My biggest thing also was, it was always said that a gun was racked. I've listened to this over 50 times now, Tony. I can't hear the racking of a gun.
No.
And even if he did rack the gun, the bullet was found over by where they were massacred, where their bodies laid. They were massacred in one spot and then pulled over about, fairly close by where they were massacred, but still at a distance to hide them, I believe. And that's where this bullet, full on cartridge, was found. So it never made sense to me. Why did you rack it by the Monanhai Bridge, where you would think a bullet would have gone out? But no, it went over by the girls. It's so wrong, everything that has been said about this video. That's my biggest takeaway.
I want to know why. I mean, why do the girls want to go down the bridge or down the hill? Because clearly this guy is not encouraging them. He's just like, they're probably pointing because they seem like kind of what they were doing. And you go, oh yeah, down the hill, but, which is what it sounds like, which is if you knew where the trails were, you would help somebody identify where that is. Why did they want to go down there? I guess that's my question. If it's not this guy's influence to go down there, maybe they're just exploring. Kids do that. I would do that. But it does lead to a couple questions, mainly Keegan Klein questions, which, it just happens to be that letter that talks about his admissions in the Rishi Davis letters seems to be missing. Of course, the one where we talk about the guy who wanted to meet the girls that day they died, and he's a child predator, but there's nothing to see here. It makes me kind of wonder, like, was there something in that conversation or something communicated of, let's meet under the bridge? Maybe that's why they wanted to go down there,
Absolutely. It is interesting. And the one thing I also thought was interesting, Tony, these girls are from this area. It's a very famous area if you live there. Everybody knows the Monanhai Bridge. And I thought it was interesting that they were unfamiliar with where the trail went. It was almost like it was their first time that they had actually crossed that full trellis, which was never the understanding I had in the past.
Yeah.
I always thought that they were well-versed with this area. But it's clear that either they hadn't been there for a very long time or had never been there because she's surprised. She goes, oh, you know, the trail ends here. We have to go down there. And by the way, her voice is so sweet. And I know this is so hard. I'm hoping that none of the parents are, you know, ever listening in on social media because it's got to be so hard for them to hear all of this. But on another note, you know, when you're thinking about the justice that may not have been served in this case, I just can't believe this case has ended the way it has, Tony. And I think the more and more we see, the more we're going to be concerned. And again, Tony, isn't this all about the jury had the right to see all of this unadulterated and not with the influence of somebody telling them what they were looking at and hearing?
Anytime you tell someone or you have to like put words on a screen and say, this is what they're saying, your brain will automatically adapt to that. That's the psychology of it. That's how it works. That's why you can't suggest things in those sort of situations. You have to let people just absorb it and come to what they're going to come to. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but if we cannot truly break that down and actually hear it, you can't tell somebody this is exactly what they're saying because it fits your narrative when it clearly doesn't even say that. And then assume we're hearing a gun racking. And there's so many things here. The letter that was put out or the response that was put out by Richard Allen's attorneys to McClelland about the errors I found to be humorous as hell. I thought it was written beautifully. It almost looked like a script I wrote for talking about the show because I read it verbatim and I thought this sounds like the things I write. So I love the snark in it, but it was all just so true of just lining out piece by piece how anything remotely absculpatory in this case has been lost, has been held back, has been altered. And it's then if we ever see it, it's after the fact. It's just, it goes beyond being narrow-minded, being hell-bent on we need to solve this case and this is a narrative. I'm just baffled. These are just very obvious conclusions I think anyone of a reasonable mind would come to. How the prosecution of Richard Allen came to such egregiously different conclusions doesn't make any sense to me other than there was a reason for coming to a different conclusion. And it's not that Richard Allen was guilty.
Yeah, it's from really from A to Z. When I think of, when I look back at when he was first taken into custody and those interviews of him, which I've compared and contrasted a lot to the kind of, you know, just lost his mind, not even really able to communicate well at all. In what we saw later in his writings compared to the beginning. I mean, he was dogmatic. I have nothing to do with this. Go ahead, check everything out. You know, what are you talking about? He acted, in my opinion, in that interview, his first interview, exactly how most people act when they are innocent. Yeah. They are so angry and they are very fine. Take everything. Yeah, I'll talk to you. I don't need a lawyer. You can go ahead and say this. It's not true. He said things along that line, very early on. And boy, when you compare and contrast that to the supposed, confessions later on, he just sounded like mush, compared.
It is so angering, to see this video the way it is. And I can only imagine the other things that we're going to keep learning about here. If they ever come to light, if we ever get to them, if they even exist anymore, it will be fascinating. I know the families have been very much on the side of we got the right guy, you know, let's move on. And I get it. Like you want that. But I also wouldn't want to know that or have any inkling that the real person who killed my kids is still out there or has not been named or brought to justice because maybe they're dead. Do you think we're ever going to see any of the family flip on this or anybody say, hey, you know what? You need to look at this again. And I wonder if that would have any impact on the investigation in Delphi, which I know is closed and they're all happy with it. But if you actually had the family come back and saying, hey guys, I don't think you did this right. And I don't want, you know, the death of my daughters to also be the catalyst that destroyed another person and another family and another father, when this really wasn't what seems to have happened. I just wonder if we'll ever get there, or if they can, if that would even be a good move.
You know, I, Tony, I have it on good authority that when they first arrested Richard Allen, that the family members did want to know and did ask questions. Are we sure? Mm-hmm. Like our pharmacy tech, are we sure?
Yeah.
This guy is you guys have the right guy, and that they were reassured. And that, of course, like most citizens, they believe what they're told straight in the face from the prosecutor and the police. And I think for them, this might just be so painful, Tony.
Yeah.
Just painful to revisit, too painful to grab a scab off that they've been told by people that they're trusting to tell them the truth, that it's over.
Yeah.
And they want it to be over. You know, these families, there's nothing better for them than they get closure.
They, you know, they've been victimized by the investigation. They've been victimized by McClelland, by not being transparent on this case. These are not parents who just lost their children. They've then been re-victimized by people who didn't want to handle this case professionally and in a way that would actually lead to meaningful results. And that's horrible. I mean, yeah, they already went through hell, and then the people that they trusted to try and figure out what actually happened here also betrayed them. But they can sit and they can just pretend that it was accurate, just like the people who betrayed them are pretending it's accurate, but it's just not.
You know, at the root of any investigation like this is the crime scene.
Yeah.
And that's where the rub is. The crime scene wasn't handled appropriately. So much wasn't analyzed and taken as evidence. And it was adulterated by all the volunteers and police that trampled the crime scene, everything that was mishandled. And because of that, I don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever know, but we do know is that a cover-up of some kind went on here. And I don't know what the goal of that was, other to protect your own ego when someone's going down a path and this is what we're going to do, or if it's for some greater meaning that we don't understand. But there's too much here. And yeah, another bombshell in a case that supposedly is over. I think the answer to it being actually over is far from reality.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.